From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in the Outer Sunset by the beach.
I listen to KALW from the Panhandle for the last 12 years.
Coming up, a playwright daughter and her movie star mom team up to tell a musical story from 1960s Iran.
It was important to create the environment of Iran in 1960s because I felt if we just talk about it, nobody's going to believe it.
Then we'll visit the StoryCorps booth to hear a conversation between a woman and her two mothers, one only recently found.
Then you showed up, and suddenly, family was all around me.
And a flamenco dancer passes on the dancing gene to her daughter.
The energy that we draw from one another can't be explained, but it's there.
Mothers and their daughters, today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. This Sunday is Mother's Day, and today we're bringing you stories about the special connection between moms and their daughters. And throughout the show, people from around the newsroom here at KALW are going to be answering one question. What's something your mom taught you? Let's hear some to get warmed up.
My name is Casey Miner, and something I learned from my mom is that you should never take no for an answer, at least at first. For my parents' 20th anniversary, we took a trip to the Southwest when I was a kid. And my parents had, you know, they had saved up for this trip and they had booked us some really nice kind of room at this hotel. And we got to the hotel and there was some problem where they had kind of messed something up and we weren't going to get the room. We were going to get some other kind of worse room. And my mom marched herself into the hotel, and without yelling at anybody or cussing anybody out or anything like that, she somehow had a conversation with them, which resulted not only in us getting a yet better room than the one we were supposed to have originally, but a guy whose whole job it was to check up on us and make sure that we were doing okay and that my mom had everything she needed. That guy's name was Wayne, by the way. Wayne.
My name's Liza Veal, and I used to try to get away with, like, little stupid lies all the time. Like, it was our day to bring snack the next day to my second grade class, and I opened up the bag of cookies and ate one the night before, and then I would try to argue that, you know, it was somebody else or something. I remember my mom just being like, Liza, every time you try to tell a lie, you can't keep your story straight, and you get caught. You never get away with it. And you get really stressed out. So you should just always tell the truth to save yourself a lot of angst. And I, like, never really lied after that.
Those were KALW's Casey Miner and Liza Veal. We'll have more later in the show. Now on to our first story. We're headed back in time to 1960s Iran. That's Duke Ellington playing a tune called Isfahan, inspired by a visit Ellington made to the Iranian city as part of a tour of jazz clubs there in 1963. Iranian-American playwright Taranj Yaghi Azarian is director of San Francisco-based Golden Thread Productions. She wanted to portray this time in Iran, which also witnessed a vibrant psychedelic music scene. So she wrote a play about an American jazz musician who visits Isfahan in the 1960s and falls in love with a movie star. That movie star is played by her mom, who really was a movie star in Iran, Vida Gahrimani. Mom and daughter came to our studios to talk about working together to tell a story from Iran's past.
The idea for Isfahan Blues actually originated many years ago. I was familiar with Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn's album, The Far East Suite, and on it there is a song called Isfahan. So for many years I was curious what could have happened in Isfahan or in Iran in 1963 when the Ellington Orchestra toured to Iran. And so I imagined a lot of different stories, potentially. And then I realized that a few weeks after Ellington's tour, my parents opened their nightclub, Kuchini, in Tehran, which sort of became a significant cultivation ground for many Iranian musicians. And my mom at the time was a famous film star. So I sort of imagined in my mind an encounter between a musician from the Ellington Band and my mom at the club. And then I needed to come up with a reason for them to go on a journey to Esfahan. So that's what the play is about.
Dancing club was something very unusual in Iran. Nobody knew what does it mean. Till they came in and saw what a beautiful place is that and how they can have enjoyment with the listening to the music, pop music at that time.
Can you describe it? What was it like inside the dance club?
Well, it was very dim light, first of all. And then with the very nice chef that we had for dinner, only dinner. And then live music with five young boys that they were so enthusiastic to play the music and see the people dancing. And people wanted really hunger for dancing. They didn't have some other places like that.
So you were a famous movie star.
I was, yes.
این ماشین از کجا آوردی؟
چرا جونم البته که باید بدونی این ماشین مال من نیست.
So do you miss being in the movies? Do you miss that?
You know, being in a movie or being on the stage, for me, is life. I enjoy my life if I am on stage or if I am in front of camera.
I felt like it was important to create the environment of Iran in 1960s for American audiences, because I felt if we just talk about it, nobody's going to believe it. I mean, there's a lot of misconception about particularly women, their ability to have an active life in society, their ability to educate, to make their own decisions. So I hope that this play can sort of respond to some of those misconceptions, or at a minimum open the conversation for, you know, a deeper, more meaningful conversation around Iran and U.S.-Iran relations.
And let's talk about the music.
Yes.
Marcus Shelby.
Yes, he's been amazing.
Why? Why Marcus Shelby? What did you think he would bring to this?
He knows so much about Ellington, and his own work is very much inspired by the work of Ellington. Marcus has an 18-piece band, you know, so he does the big band music, and he does swing and blues, and it's been really inspiring to have him. And we created three original songs together that I wrote the lyrics to and he composed the music for, so that was a satisfying experience, and I get goosebumps when I hear the songs.
So this play has joy and it has sadness and it has hurt.
definitely mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what we learned from Marcus. He said it's like the blues. The blues is the dichotomy of tragedy and triumph. And I think that's the thing that's in my, you know, I really took that to heart. And it's so true. I think it really distills the point of the play, you know, that those things exist side by side and you have to, and that's life.
Is this a tribute to your mother?
I think for me it is, yeah. It really is. You know, as she's getting older, it was important to me to really you know, pay that tribute to her and make sure that, you know, within my power and what the resources that I have, that we pay an homage to her career and her accomplishments.
I should say thank you very much. I am honored.
How does that make you feel, that your daughter has grown and is in the arts and is so successful, and now she's paying tribute to you?
How I can put all my feelings together and tell, I am really honored to have such a girl, such a daughter, to make such a tribute for me.
That was Vida Gahrimani and Toranj Yagyazarian talking about the play Isfahan Blues. It's playing at San Francisco's Clay Theater through May 24th. Details are at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Sunday is Mother's Day, and in today's show, we've been roaming the newsroom getting answers to one question. What's something your mom taught you?
My name is Judy Silber, and something I learned from my mom is how to start things when I don't know what I'm doing. I may be just like floundering around and not have any skill at all. I'll still go for it. I'll still do something like that. And I think I got that from my mom. My mom is very active. She's 75, I think, and she'll have fears about going places and doing things, but she'll still do it. I think that's what I got from her.
My name is David Boyer, and I learned how to make chocolate chip cookies from my mother. She makes the best chocolate chip cookies, and you know what the secret ingredient is? Crisco. And she's a dietitian, which is odd. Crisco is like the worst thing you can put in your body, basically. And she uses it in her chocolate chip cookies. I guess that's something I learned from her. You know, sometimes it's worth it to break a rule, you know, for a good cookie.
Those were KALW's Judy Silber and David Boyer. We'll have more later. But now it's time for StoryCorps. Lamar Van Dyke, Paula Lewis, and Tracy Lewis have a special bond. Lamar is a lesbian who gave birth to Tracy when she was 18 years old. Unprepared to have a baby, she gave Tracy up for adoption. The person who adopted her is Paula Lewis. Now grown up, Tracy sat down with her biological mom, Lamar, and her adopted mom, Paula, at the StoryCorps booth at the San Francisco Public Library to talk about their family.
I'm Lamar Van Dyke, and I'm here with my daughter, Tracy Lewis, and her fabulous adopted mom, Paula.
My name is Paula Marie Lewis. I'm with my daughter, Tracy Lewis, and her bio mother, Lamar Van Dyke.
I'm Tracy Lewis, and I'm the biological daughter of Lamar and the adopted daughter of Paula. Over the years of my life, how did you cope with... Did you think about, well, she's 10 now, I hope she's happy, is she safe, does she have a good life? Did those thoughts, what were your hopes and fears for me?
Oh, yeah, when I was still living in San Francisco, whenever I would see anybody walking down the street with a little black girl that was about the age of you, I'd think, wonder if that's her. Mm-hmm. Wonder if that's her. Mm-hmm. And then when you turned 18, I registered my name with an adoption finding agency because I thought, well... You know, I don't really feel like I have the right to go looking for you, but if you're looking for me, I'd like to make myself available for that. Mm-hmm.
How did you feel when, out of the clear blue, I contacted you 21 years ago?
Oh, I had a heart attack. I had a heart attack. I always knew that we would find each other, and I always thought I'd be completely reasonable and sensible about it, that I'd say, oh, how nice to meet you. Here, let me put you on the back of my motorcycle, and we'll go to the ocean, and I'll answer all your questions, and we'll live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But when you found me, the top of my head blew off, and I started pacing up and down the hallway of my house, holding on to my head, thinking, oh, my God, it's my daughter.
One of the things, Lamar, that I really love about you is you never try to take over anything. Because, you know, there was that fear, like I said, when she was younger, I thought, my God, if her mother comes along and tries to take her from me, even though legally it couldn't have happened, I had this concern. But you've always sort of stayed on your side of the fence. You didn't come into her life to be her mother.
Yeah.
You didn't come in her life to take over or to redo any of the teachings or any of the upbringing from her. And I've always told everybody, I think that's so admirable.
You were the mother. In my mind, you were the mother. You had done the mother work, and you were the mother, and I had the utmost respect for that. And I was just so happy to be included in your family.
And you are a family. And but I think that for me, that helped me so much.
Before I met you, the two of you, I had sort of talked myself into the idea that family didn't matter. Because my family had been harsh with me, and I had left them and gone off to live my queer life. And I had just talked myself into the fact that family didn't matter. Then you showed up, and suddenly family was all around me and in me, and I was elevated to a different level.
Mm-hmm.
I was connected to something that I had not been connected to.
I think myself that you actually showed up at the perfect time, wouldn't you say, Mom?
Oh,
she
yes.
got to skip all the turmoil.
I wish you had come during the teenage years, however. And maybe that's...
I probably wouldn't have been too good with that.
So you waited, and then, you know, the grandkids, and you showed up right at the perfect time.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah. It's been great.
Mm-hmm. I'm just divinely blessed and grateful to have you both.
That was Lamar Van Dyke, Paula Lewis, and Tracy Lewis. Their story came to us from StoryCorps. It was facilitated by Geraldine Asu and produced by Chris Hambrick. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now let's check in with the folks who are answering our question, what's something your mom taught you?
My name is Chris Hoff. I learned the following things from my mother. One, she was responsible for teaching me how to swim. And that was very important because I have never drowned as a result of that. But maybe more importantly, I feel like there's a selflessness that she has that I've seen in her that, like, it's just something that I strive to do, where this idea of putting other people sort of before you, like, she does that so effortlessly. And I don't do it so well, but I see that it is possible, and I learned that from my mom.
My name is Nina Gensler-Debs, and my mom's name is Karen Gensler. And I learned that the more the merrier is pretty much always true. When I was younger, we always used to collect random people who had nowhere to go for holidays, and we always had people who worked for her or friends of friends coming over for dinner. And it was an amazing way to build a bigger family and just feel like there were always new and interesting people coming into our lives. And I still do that, and it was a great thing that she taught me, that you should just be inclusive of all the people. It's backfired when I don't have enough food or drink.
Those were KALW's Chris Hoff and Nina Gensler-Debs. And that takes us to our next mom and daughter story. Carolina Lugo is a professional flamenco dancer. She loves the traditional Spanish dance form. In fact, she's the third generation of women flamenco dancers in her family. So when Lugo had a baby girl, she knew that she wanted her to follow in the tradition of her mothers before her. Today, Lugo and her grown-up daughter, Carole Acuña, perform together as ballet flamenco around the Bay Area. Frilly dresses, stomping on wooden floors, syncopated clapping, maracas, shouts of olé! All to the tune of Spanish guitar and traditional song. This is the flamenco experience. Lugo and Acuña stopped by KALW, and I asked Mom Carolina if she could recall the first moment she fell in love with flamenco.
I do, very clearly.
and it gives me a lump in my throat. I was standing in between my mother and my father at the California Theater in Southern California, and I saw my idol, Carmen Amaya, who's the most famous flamenco dancer ever. She continues to be my inspiration. And I remember it as if it was yesterday. I was 4.5 years old. And I remember stomping my feet and trying to do everything she was doing. And I remember the lighting, and she had a bata de cola, which is a train, a long train. It was black with different color. We call them volantes, and they're ruffles in English. And it was like a rainbow. And the way she was kicking it around was magnificent. And from then on, I was a goner for flamenco. Whenever my parents had music on, I would run to get my castanets in my room and play along with the music that was being played. It doesn't matter what kind of music. I was just playing the castanets because it was percussive, and I was playing to the beats of the music.
I want to ask you about the birth of Carole.
I knew, because I had two sons before her. I just knew that was my girl. And I had her name picked out since I was pregnant with my first son. And then my second son came. His name was supposed to be Carole, and he was a boy. And then Carole was coming along, and I just knew in my heart that that was my girl. And when she was born, I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I couldn't believe that she was a girl. And I knew in my heart and soul that she was going to be an artist. I didn't know what kind, but I knew she was bound for the stage. I remember holding her on my lap, and she was already bouncing up and down at 6 months old to the music in perfect timing. So she had perfect timing at 6 months old, which is unusual for a baby. And so I knew, oh, there's my dancer.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you remember the first time you encountered flamenco and really loved it?
Well, I grew up with it because my mom danced it and always talked about it, and my grandmother too. When I was 14 is when I made my professional debut, not with my mother, but with Rosa Montoya. And then after that, after I started dancing professionally with Rosa Montoya, then my mom and I, and with, along with other dancers, started to dance professionally as well.
Together?
Yes.
That's when we started our company.
Uh-huh. When I was 14, I guess that me being 14 was when we all started professionally dancing.
I saw you perform, both of you, and Carolina, when Carole is up there performing, dancing, the way you look at her, what it has something in it other than we are professionals and we are dancing and this is our job.
I'm holding back my tears. It's so much pride. And it goes beyond motherly love. It's pride in my child. Pride in my profession, pride in my ethnicity, that my offspring has chosen the same path as I have. I can't explain the depth of pride that I have for her and the magic that happens on stage with both of us. The energy that we draw from one another can't be explained, but it's there. The, what we call in flamenco and Spanish dance, the duende, the spirit. It's there, unspoken.
Carolina Lugo and Carole Acuña are performing a Mother's Day show this Sunday. We'll link to their full schedule at KALW.org. Click Cross Currents. Olé! Well, throughout the show, you've heard about our moms, thanks to KALW's Seth Samuel. Now we want to hear about yours. What's something your mom taught you?
Give us a call and leave us a message at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Or email us at news@kalw.org. Or you can catch up with us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Our team includes Leela Day, Hannah Kingsley Ma, Casey Miner, Ted Muldoon, Raja Shah, Judy Silber, and Stephen Short. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Nina Gensler-Debs. I'm having pie for breakfast. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by the Brothers Comatose. They play Saturday at Terrapin Crossing in San Rafael, starting at 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba. Happy Mother's Day, Ummi. I'm having pie.